That's a tough phone call. Your wife asks you, how was the show tonight?
Well, I'm just taking my head out of the toilet because my hair was on fire, so I had to cool down.
Oh, you must have left the show.
No.
I just kept playing.
Yeah, trending on Twitter right now.
Well, did you stop for a minute and make sure that your hair stopped being on fire?
No, it's just...
No, we just kept playing.
Melted to my collar now.
Yeah. All right, so we've got a guy on the line here. Friend of the show. We've had him on many, many times.
Yes, we love him.
He's got a new title down in Atlanta. He's been the GM there for a while, but now he's the president of baseball operations. He's got a new man on his staff, another friend of the show.
Yes.
Here is Alex Anthopoulos. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well. I have no idea who you guys were referring to that their hair caught on fire, and it's just making me think. And I've been in spring training, and I have no idea what's going on in the world today.
Yeah, it's really important stuff. There's a Kiss cover band. Their name is Hairball. And they actually had a significant tour going. They tour around the United States. And the lead singer...
We think.
The guy playing Paul Stanley, during the show, his hair goes on fire. And he continues to play. Like, he did not stop. He didn't miss a chord. He didn't miss a note. He just kept playing, and his hair's on fire. Perfect. So
the roadies put it out. The roadies put it out for him, and apparently it's his real hair, too, and he had to have it cut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, my only experience with concerts and people being lit on fire were I saw the Metallica Guns N' Roses concert at Olympic Stadium in Montreal, and James Hetfield fireworks went off and basically burnt his arm. Ooh. And they shut down the show. So he was not as tough as the Paul Stanley clone.
Yes.
Played through it. So.
That's not unexpected, right? Like, the main guy would be like, forget it, I'm out of here. I don't care about Montreal.
Right.
I don't care about Toronto, New York, wherever it is. But if you're a cover band guy,
right?
Like, you're
you
committed.
You need to work.
Yeah.
You got to work.
You're committed to the game. You're committed.
That's right. You love the game.
That's right. And you're committed to the Braves. They're committed to you. You got a new title here. Does that change responsibilities? I mean, what has changed for you since this announcement?
Job security, contract length, guaranteed salary. I mean, being candid, the title is something I did not ask for, something that my boss, our chairman, Terry McGuirk, wanted to do. He's the boss, and I told him when he brought it up to me, I said, I'm good with, want to call me the janitor? All I care about was who do I report to? And what are my job responsibilities, and do I have final decision-making authority on baseball operations, obviously with his sign-off as the control person. And if those are the things that are in place for me, titles and all that stuff don't matter to me. And look, from my standpoint, it was an easy yes. He's been amazing to me since I've been here. You know, sometimes things just work out, and I'm really grateful that I get to stay.
So it was that casual? He just came up to you one day and said, hey, I've been thinking about something. What are your thoughts about it? And you were like, great. We all need one of those.
Yeah, no, that's basically how it developed. It's he came to me in the offseason early before the offseason really got going. And or it may have been in September even, I don't remember. But he just said, hey, I'd like to sit down at some point and add some years to your deal. And I said, that would be great. And we had a conversation early about it, and I had to get back to him, and we got into making moves, signing players, trying to make trades, and I didn't get back to him, not because I didn't want to be here, of course I did, I just didn't feel it was appropriate to worry about myself or even spend a minute thinking about my status or my contract when the off season was full go, so I didn't say anything until I got back from the holidays and things got quiet, and you know, he asked me to follow up, and from that point we got it done in a day or two. It was pretty quick. I mean, I knew the minute he said I want to extend you, it was going to get done. I told him that right away. I've never been one to chase the money or negotiate. You guys have heard this before. It's about who you work with, who you work for. If those things are in place, the money and all that stuff takes care of itself, and you're happy going to work each day, and if you are, you're pretty good chance you're going to do well at your job.
With Alex Anthopoulos, so at what point during the negotiation then did you demand John Gibbons gets a job within the organization?
Yeah, so you know what? Dana Brown, who was with the Toronto Blue Jays for a long time, knew Gibby well. He approached me about wanting to hire him. And look, I love Gibby, obviously. But at the same time, I was worried about just the optics and all that. I mean, it wasn't, you know, you do things like this, people think there's a manager in waiting and stuff like that, and that's the last thing I wanted. So my first reaction was, I just don't know that I'm comfortable with it, not that I don't think he's great, especially as an evaluator. And what made sense to me when he brought it up to me, because Gibby's someone that obviously manages, and you can get into what your thoughts are on how he does that, but it's a rare thing when you have someone in that spot who can evaluate and can get the players right. And over the years, he's just very good at evaluating. He could identify guys to get rid of, trade, guys to keep. And, you know, it's probably 8-9 years now of being around him. He was right a lot. And he just has a very good eye for talent. It's not something you would think of as a manager, but the people that work with him saw it. Dana saw it. And we're trying to get the best talent evaluators that we can. And he's obviously a great guy. People like to work with him. And he's got a ton of experience. So, you know, we talked about it a little bit more, and I called our current manager and just told him about it. And I then from that point, he said, look, I could care less. I love Gibby. He loves Gibby. And he's going to be on Dana, reports to Dana, works with him. Dana basically dictates his employment, his work schedule, all that kind of stuff. So, obviously, I love the guy. I think it's a great hire. But I'm big on, I've always been this way, the people that run departments, I let them run departments. That's the only way I can help hold them accountable for what they're doing. So I don't interfere. I don't have people hire anybody on my behalf. If I want to hire someone, they'll report to me. Otherwise, you're running scouting development. It's your show. If I'm not happy, you can't come back to me and say you didn't allow me to hire who I wanted or do what I wanted to do. If you give people autonomy in their departments, you can hold them accountable at the same time.
With Alex Anthopoulos of the Atlanta Braves. So, obviously, we all know the prominent story in sports right now revolves around the Houston Astros. And we've talked a lot about Houston and the way that they've handled their business. But as someone who runs and operates one of the 29 other teams in baseball, when the news comes out and the punishments come out, my thought would be, if I'm running a team, I got to make sure all my affairs are in order. Like, because maybe everyone's on high alert, and I'm not suggesting the Braves have done anything or are doing anything, but did you have that same reaction? And if so, did you go through the whole organization to make sure everything is on the level in case, you know, Manfred and company starts canvassing every other team in baseball?
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, obviously, it's something we're going to continue to talk about. It's just like when there was the hacking scandal between the Cardinals and the Astros 5 years ago, 6 years ago. You cross-check and you check with your IT department at the time, do we have the security we need in place? So I'm very well aware of what's going on with our day-to-day operations, our advanced operations, and so on. You're down in the clubhouse, you're traveling with the team. The same way this finally got out and broke, there's too many people you would ultimately have to keep quiet that it was going to come out regardless. So I'm very aware of what's going on. We have our first full squad workout tomorrow. I never address the players. I mean, maybe 2-3 times in 8 years as a GM, I've done it. Tomorrow will be a time that I'm going to do it. Not to spend 5-10 minutes on it, but just reiterate, if you see anything, if you hear anything, we need to know. Our staff will be in there. I mean, our clubhouse staff and so on. Obviously, though, I know how our operation runs and what we do, and I also know our players and things like that. So I know it's been a topic. I understand it has to be a topic. My personal feeling on it is it's been dealt with. It's been handled. People's careers have been impacted. People's jobs have been lost. There's been a lot of public embarrassment and shame, which I think is more impactful than anything. You have to live in the mirror, and your reputation is all you have. And I thought I saw Chris Sale's comments the other day. I thought they were great. I mean, I take the approach he has. If you have something to say and concerns, you can call people and tell them directly. And, you know I feel this way. I don't need to get in front of a camera and voice my opinions. If I have an issue with somebody or certain things, I'll normally go up to them directly or call them directly. So that's my take. I just hope that the focus now is on the game and playing. It's been dealt with. I think the commissioner did a great job because this thing, he got to the bottom of it fast. We got all the answers that we needed. It was addressed. Everyone's aware. And I think what's gone on, the punishment, the public shaming, everything else, that's as big a deterrent, I think, as you're ever going to have. So as far as I'm concerned, it's not something anybody's proud of. But he dealt with it, and his group dealt with it the only way I think he could. And I think he's done a great, great job with it.
Well, the one thing that I do find puzzling is that the players themselves that admitted to doing this, none of them were suspended. I mean, the GM gets fired, the skip gets fired, but nothing really happens to the players, Alex. That's the only thing I found shocking about this whole development.
No, I've seen that, but I think, you know, the commissioner's done some media events and so on, and I don't want to speak for him. I'm just reading off what I've seen. I think he explained that the union's involved in that. They have to, you know, discuss with the union. So, you know, everything, again, I don't want to speak out of turn because this is way above my pay grade. But there's obviously a lot of layers to this thing, and it's been explained that it's not that simple. There's an element of getting to the facts, getting the information, guys being able to get immunity and so on, so they can get to the bottom of it and get the information. And that's what it was about. I think it was about getting the problem solved and getting it fixed, not about trying to keep score. I think it's about making sure this does not ever happen again. It's addressed. Everyone knew what went on. It was made available. The world knows what happened. And that we don't ever see anything like that.
How confident are you and your team this year? I know Freddie Freeman last year, when it was over, he said he thought they had the team to go all the way. You still confident in your group and looking forward to this season?
I am. You know, that being said, I think I've said this before too, as a GM, at least I think a lot of us think this way, in any sport you're in, your job is to worry. You know how hard it is to win, you know how competitive it is. Our division was the only division with four teams that were 500 and above. I think everybody got better. The Marlins certainly did a lot this offseason to get better. And I agree with Freddie that last year we absolutely had a team that was capable of getting to the World Series. We played the Nats really well all year. We won the division, especially down the stretch. We played them great. And I think we won 7 of our last 9 against them. And you know, we obviously got bounced in the first round. The first 4 games of the Cardinals series, I mean, Game 5 was a throwaway, but we had leads in the 8th inning, and we only won 2 of those games. So we had every chance to win in advance, and I would have loved to have seen us against the Nats, considering how it went during the season, home field advantage, no guarantees. But fast forward now to 2020, still think we have a fantastic team. That said, like everyone will say, we need to stay healthy. Guys need to perform to their capabilities, but I think the division is going to be a grind, and I'm constantly worried. I know our staff is always worried about depth and injuries and all those kind of things, so it should be a good battle.
Well, best of luck getting through the spring and into the season. We always appreciate you finding time for us, and congrats on the new title and the security and all that, and I'm sure we'll do it again down the road.
All right, guys, really enjoyed it.
There he is, Alex Anthopoulos, the GM and president of baseball operations with the Atlanta Braves. And for those wondering, Gibbons is a scout.
Yeah.
An amateur scout.
I like that.
I'm glad he brought that up because I hadn't thought of that. Like,
manager and
yeah, if you're the current manager, you're like, wait a minute, Gibby's now in the fold. Like, that's his guy.
He'll be in his ear all the time.
Right.
I can do better. I can fix this. I can fix that.
Oh, you know how it is. There's that, like.
But that's going to happen even if he's not employed.
Exactly. But it's still, I like the fact that he went to the current manager and said, listen, you know, this guy's getting hired over here.
But by the way, if he does can the manager, guess who's getting hired?
Might be the old amateur scout.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, he would be in the running for sure, but.
How do you think Dusty Baker's handled all this?
Honestly,
I have no idea why he's even put out there. It's so unfair to him.
This speaks to a reputation and how you build it. You know, by all accounts, easy's got to like.
Yeah, he's
incredible,
had a smile
respect
on the whole time, and just
but kind of sold his soul, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, I know that's harsh, but didn't you sell your soul? Like, you took the money, you took the job, you're going to try to win a World Series with a really good team.
Right.
But he's probably got a lot of money, he's been in baseball a long time, he's 70. Why did you have to put yourself out there to be like, okay, I'll be the front for them?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's almost like go hire someone out, like an intern for a year, and then I'll come in.
Right.
So in a way, I feel for him, but I'm also like, why would you put yourself in that position? Why take that job with this team? Like, why wasn't there managers that are like, we're not doing it?
Probably no other job available for him.
Well, that's exactly why.
What it
exactly
is.
Why. But
for him to be answering any questions and then saying, like, lay off these guys? Like, come on.
He has to say that, though, and the league has to protect them.
Yeah.
Has to. You know, like, you see it, you know, criminals that are walking into court, you can't just go up and sucker them.
Yeah.
You're going to get arrested for it.
Yeah.
You have to protect the Astros as much as you don't want to and people don't want you to.
Agreed.
You have an obligation to do it.
Yep.